Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 13, and it may be helpful to you to find a little piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Learn and Live That Jesus Plus Me Equals Enough. That's a very important life equation for me, and I want to lend it to you because, friends, who among us does not at times feel very small? We feel the stresses and the pressures and the frustrations of life, and they grind us down. And that's why we need to come together as the body of Christ and hear God's Word that lifts us up. And that's what you'll encounter today in Colossians chapter 1. Paul, of course, faced a lot of terrible and daunting problems, and yet he had the strength to say that he was not this world's victim, he was a victor. He made that famous statement in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. What does it say? I can do all things who? Through Christ who strengthened me. The emphasis was not on Paul and that he was clever. He was not a strong person. He was a beaten, beleaguered person. But because of his living in Christ, he had tapped into this power source. And he could say, Paul plus Jesus equals enough. Well, I got that phrase, that equation, from a man named J.B. Tidwell. J.B. Tidwell lived many years ago, and when I went to Baylor University, I went to the Tidwell Bible College building, and it was there on the Baylor campus. I took a lot of classes there, and I saw that handsome man, and I learned his story, and I wanted to share it with you. Now, here is the story of J.B. Tidwell. He was born in 1880, right here in Alabama. He was born into the family of a tenant farmer. There were a lot of kids, and all they did was work the land. But he was a very bright young man. At age 13, as a teenager, he had never been to school one day. He was completely illiterate. He could not read a book. He could not even write his name. And then something fabulous happened. There was a revival that came to his area. And J.B. Tidwell and his family, they went to that revival, and he got gloriously saved. His life did a 180. He started following Jesus. Well, he wanted to read God's Word because he had this hunger, this desire to know what was in the Bible. Therefore, he decided to enroll in school. He was a first grader at age 13. But in 4 years, J.B. Tidwell not only surpassed the class by learning everything, he was the valedictorian. He went on to college here in Birmingham, or in Alabama then. It was in Alabama, Howard College, now Samford University in Birmingham. After that, he made the excellent, brilliant decision to go to Baylor University, and where I went, of course. And then after getting a master's, he made his way to the University of Chicago, and he earned a doctorate in biblical languages, Hebrew and Greek, and theology. Came back to Baylor, and from 1910 to 1946, 36 years, he was the head of the Baylor Bible Department, and he impacted literally thousands upon thousands of young people. So they named in his honor the new building, the Bible building, the Tidwell Tower. We used to call it the Tidwell Tower of Power. Well, I was fascinated with this man, and I read his biography, and do you know what it was entitled? J.B. Tidwell plus Jesus equals enough. J.B. Tidwell plus Jesus equals enough. Now, friends, that's the core of the good news. You see, if you're in Christ, it's going to be okay. You will have enough. But let me ask you this question. Fill in this blank. We all need help to fill in the gaps. Maybe you have some gaps right now in your life where you feel like you don't have enough. Maybe you don't feel like, because you're facing a big problem, that you're smart enough. Maybe you don't feel like you're strong enough, or rich enough, or good enough. You see, here's the good news. You plus Jesus equals enough. Because Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. He is enough. That's why Paul could proclaim, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's what I want us to understand as we come to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, we are going to see here this beautiful Christology. This is a high point in Paul's theological writings. He is putting on display in front of us our magnificent, all-sufficient Savior. So dial in with full attention as we focus on our Jesus. Come with me now to Colossians 1, beginning in verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And in him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Let's pray for a moment. Oh, dear Father, we come before you, and we want to come now to full attention because you deserve it. You are the glorious creator, the sustainer, and you're our wonderful Savior. And so, Father, we humbly come into your presence, and we want to make a declaration right now that because we're connected to you, we have enough, no matter what life brings our way. Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit may be unleashed in this place and deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. Pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we know that King Jesus is the all-sufficient one, and I want to highlight four areas that we can glean from Colossians 1 about his sufficiency, which qualifies you to say, Jesus, you are my enough. And I'm not a victim, I am the victor because Jesus, you're my enough. Let's come right here to number one and write down the word redeemer. King Jesus is the all-sufficient redeemer. The word redeemer simply means one who delivers, one who rescues, one who sets the captive free. And I like that picture. Recently, I had my grandson. His name is James Wolfe. He's 11, and I decided that he was old enough to watch all of the Indiana Jones movies in a row. So we started out on a quest, and we started with Indiana Jones, the very first one about Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then we moved to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and I don't really like the skull one. But anyway, we watched the three good ones. And then James decided his favorite was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom because of that little fella, the miniature Jackie Chan character, short stuff. And oh, it was fantastic. Because what does Indiana do? He does what Indiana Jones does. He rescues. There are all these little children in India, and I love India, so had a real heart tug. All these kids were captivated and captured in a slave mode, trying to serve an evil God and an evil king. And Indiana Jones swoops in and delivers them. Well, that's a picture of who Jesus is, really. You see, Jesus is the great deliverer. And he comes in to deliver us from our ultimate arch enemy, and that is sin. Friends, know that you have a sin problem. Look on your worksheet. Here is the great truth about the human condition. Here is the problem for me and for you. Paul declares in Romans 3, for all have sinned. No exceptions, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But they're justified freely by his grace through the redemption, that is the deliverance that came by Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, mark it down. You see, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. You have this desperate gap in your life. You're a sinner, and somebody's got to cover that gap. Let's just do a quick survey. For instance, if you have any doubt about your being a sinner, because you may think, I'm here at church. I'm an American. I'm just as good as some of those other people. My goodness. Let's add it up like this. If you've ever told a lie, just one lie, raise your hand. Okay, most everybody, a few liars in the back. So if you tell one lie, do you know what that makes you? You're a liar. Yeah, I'll quit the survey here. Have you ever stolen anything? You don't have to raise your hand. So if you steal one thing, what does that make you? A thief. If you kill one person, what does that make you? A murderer. If you commit one sin, what does that make you? A sinner. So that separates us from a holy God. So we have this enormous problem, and Jesus comes to bridge that gap as our Redeemer. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were the original sinners. And just like Adam and Eve, we, by our nature and our choices, we commit sin. God invited Adam and Eve to come into this gorgeous garden and to grow and tend it with him. The only requirement is that they trust and obey, but instead they decided to doubt and rebel. They didn't trust God, they doubted God. They didn't obey him. They rebelled against his path and his way, and therefore the world fell. Well, we're still in that same boat. We don't trust God. We doubt him. We don't obey him. Instead, we rebel against him. Jesus told a story in Luke 15 about it. He told about a young man called the prodigal son. That young man is a picture of every person in this room. That prodigal son, instead of summoning trust and obedience, he summoned doubt and rebellion against his father, told his dad to drop dead, give me the money, I'm out of here. And where did that put him? In the dominion of sin. Jesus called it the pig pen, the pigsty. That's what happens when you rebel against God. You ruin your life, and you need some help out of that dominion of sin. And Jesus comes as the deliverer, and he gives you an exit strategy. Now, the world has an exit strategy for sin. For instance, in the world's way of seeing things, if you need the way out, science says invent your way out. Industry says work your way out. Philosophy says think your way out. Pleasure says play and drink your way out. But Jesus comes along and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll just connect with me, if you'll follow me, I will take you out. And where does he take you out to? Well, John 5:24 explains it. Jesus says, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has been transferred out of death and into life. That's what Jesus does for you. He delivers you. He transfers you. He covers your sin gap with the bridge of his cross. And so his redemption is enough to set you free. Well, number two, please make this note. King Jesus is the all-sufficient revealer. He is the revealer. He's the redeemer. We learn here he is the revealer. In verse 15, we find this fascinating truth. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. The quest of all humanity is to try to discover their creator's identity. I mean, if you study cultures and religions throughout time, you'll find that people are on this quest. They're trying to find who created us and how do we relate to them. I heard about a mom. She was walking through the dining room and she saw her little daughter at the dining room table. She was just feverishly drawing a picture. And she said to her six-year-old daughter, Susie, what are you drawing? She says, Mama, I'm drawing a picture of God. She said, darling, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, they will when I get finished. All right, now, do you know what God looks like? You know what Paul is asserting here? If you've seen Jesus, you have seen God. The word here in verse 15 is the word icon. We have icons on our computers. An icon is an image. It's the exact image. It's a photocopy of God. That's who Jesus is. The scripture says in John chapter 1, in verse 14, that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And then look on your worksheet what Jesus himself said. He said to Philip, John 14, verse 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." What is Jesus saying? I'm God. When you look at me, you see a picture of God. Oh, my friend, that's the goal of God, for us to see Jesus and then to be Jesus to the people around us. We are to represent him to the people we encounter. Once we have met Jesus and he's been revealed to us, then our job is to reveal Jesus to others. Now, here's an important step in that process. You've got to know who Jesus is. Now, the best way to do it is this. When I was a new believer, a guy took me under his wing named Charlie Dodd, and he gave me this coaching that I give to you. He said, learn the Gospels. Learn the Jesus-saturated part of the Bible first. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are only 89 chapters. And embed them in your thinking. Understand them. Know the Jesus story. When you know what Jesus said, you can repeat it. When you know what Jesus did, you can replicate it. You see, our relationships, our actions, our attitudes, our reactions should all be aligned with who? With Jesus. And you only know how to do that if you know the Jesus story of the Gospels. So once Jesus reveals himself to you, what do? You reveal Jesus to other people. Sometimes people will come to me and it's my most treasured compliment. And people say, "Jay, when I see you, I see Jesus." Has anybody said that to you lately? "When I see you, I see a picture of Jesus. You reveal Jesus to me." There's an old song. It goes like this. While passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling his story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. You see, once you have met Christ, once he has revealed himself to you, it becomes now your holy privilege and obligation to reveal and show Jesus to others, and that means you're his witness. Well, let's go to number three. You see, King Jesus is the all-sufficient Redeemer, the Revealer, and he's the royalty of all creation. He's the royalty of all creation. We see here in verse 15, it's fascinating, it says that Jesus, he is the firstborn, verse 15, he is the firstborn of all creation. And in him, all things are created. In other words, he is the crown of creation. He's preeminent in creation because he is actually the agent of creation. We know that a firstborn, for instance, is over in England where they have a monarchy. The firstborn becomes the king. Charles is the king that will come to be king when Queen Elizabeth II dies, which doesn't seem to be anytime soon. I mean, she's hanging in there. What a woman. But he's the heir apparent. Now, I can tell you this. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, and there's nobody behind him. He is the one. He is royalty. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why Paul would say in Philippians 2, look on your worksheet, that Jesus towers above all other earthly authority. There is none to compare. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. You see, nobody compares to our King Jesus. All the kings that have ever ruled, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all of them put together have not impacted the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life of King Jesus. So we recognize him as royalty because he is our Creator God. But let me show you something absolutely fascinating. He not only creates, but he preserves creation. Look at verse 17 again. In him, all things hold together. In other words, he is God's glue. He holds it all together. Years ago, I read something fascinating about laminin. Let me explain to you what laminin is. Now, laminin is this glycoprotein that is the essential rebar of all of the building units in the molecules in our body and in this world. Not going to get real technical because I would run beyond my knowledge pretty quick, but I can tell you, laminin is the glue that holds this world together. And when you go down and look at laminin, it's holding all your bodies together. It's holding all the plant world together. When you look at laminin under an electron microscope, here's what it looks like. There's a cross. It's almost like the whimsical finger of God when he structured creation. He decided to make the glue holding it all together a picture of Jesus, the royal ruling one. So laminin comes in the form of a cross that holds us all together. Let me make this real practical. A few days ago, I saw a young lady that grew up in our church named Beth Montgomery Booth. And her parents were John and Kathy Montgomery. I knew them for a long time. And she came here recently, a few weeks ago, for a special baby dedication. She and our son Jason are the same age. She's 36, and that's her husband Breland. And she has three adorable children. But she also has stage 4 cancer. It's spread throughout her body. And she looks fantastic there, but she's been traveling back and forth to MD Anderson. She's been in excruciating pain. There are tumors in her legs, in her stomach, in her liver, in her back, in her brain. So I said, you know, Beth, kind of sounds trite, but Beth, how are you doing? And here was her response. She said, Jay, I have cancer, but cancer does not have me. Jesus has me, and he's holding me. He's her laminin. He is holding me, and he will see me through. She made that monumental statement of faith because her faith is real and deep, and I will give you a P.S. She just came back from MD Anderson last week, and a whole bunch of those tumors have disappeared. Now, we're not sure where, why, or how, but I'm telling you, the one who holds you in the palm of your hand, he can heal you, he can do anything he wants to, because he is in charge. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. He's the laminin that holds you together. So when life gets rough and tough for you, when the bottom falls out, when a dear person walks out, when you can't pay your bills, when you think that you don't have the resource, the strength, it's not enough. Do you know who Jesus is? He's your enough. You see, the Lord Jesus plus you equals enough. Why? Because you're cool? No, because he is the all-sufficient Savior. So when you're connected to him, you got enough. You can stand. Well, there's one last thing I want to show you. That Jesus, this all-sufficient King, is the ruler of the church. Jesus is the ruler of the church. I want you to think about that. You see, we learn this in verse 18. He is the head of the church. He's the ruler of the church. Also tells us on your outline in 1 Corinthians 12 that you are the body of Christ, each one part of it. And we go on to learn from Paul that the head of the church is none other than Jesus. I've observed that my body works best when it does what the head says to do. Are you with me? Your body will work best if you do what the head says to do. Here's a crazy funny example. Over the years, I've done a lot of skiing, and one time I went out east. We were out in West Virginia skiing, and Travis Rutherford got this trip together, and he's an old buddy, and Travis is kind of a card, and it's the last run of the day. It's gotten warm. It's slippery. It's slick. It's icy, and Travis says, y'all follow me. We're going to do a closing jump. Really bad idea when a redneck says, y'all watch this, okay? So I decided to follow him. And so Travis goes over this little icy bump, and he makes it. I come next, and I hit that bump, and my feet start traveling up. This is not a good thing. And I'm telling my feet, my head is saying, feet, go down. Feet, go down right now, because they continue to go up over my head. It's not a good landing position. I came down full force on a patch of ice that felt like concrete, and I was like a cartoon character. I mean, I saw stars. My equipment went every which way, and I know I broke a couple of ribs because I could not take a full breath for 2 months. Thank you, Travis. No, the real problem is my feet didn't do as my head commanded them. I couldn't get my feet down. Now, that's a silly analogy to say, my friends, here is Jesus, the ruler of the church, and he's instructing you to do what you're supposed to do as part of the body of Christ. And it's a real simple assignment. It's Matthew 4, verse 19, follow me. Jesus said, follow me, take up your cross and follow me every day in every way. Submit and surrender to my authority in your life, and then seek first my kingdom. Join me in the great adventure of building the kingdom of God. Let your life make an eternal difference. Don't waste it on things that don't count. You see, all of us ask this simple question, Lord, what is your will and purpose for my life? And it's that simple. Follow Jesus and build his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. Well, let's finish off. And if you'll make this last note, summary. Let Jesus make you complete. You see, he's your enough. Paul put it like this in Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone complete in Christ. That is my holy objective, friends, as your friend and pastor. I want you to be complete in Christ. I want you to know that you are enough. And I want you to get this equation deeply embedded in your spirit. When you feel like you're not strong enough or smart enough or rich enough or good enough, that is the devil's lie. You are not a victim in this world. You're the victor in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus plus you equals what? Enough. Let's pray. Yes, Father. Oh, thank you for being our all-sufficient Savior. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.